Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are here for another week of Turning Towards Life. And you won't know this if you're listening or watching later, but we're doing this at a very unusual time. We've just appeared from nowhere into this live stream today because we're in the middle of teaching the fourth day of our professional coaching course. And Lizzie, I'm so pleased to be here with you. And we were just saying how nice it is to be together, the two of us here. And I want to say, as always, welcome to everyone. Welcome to you if you're with us live, if you're catching up later in some form. We are so pleased that you're here with us. We have an absolutely beautiful source chosen for us by Lizzie to start with this week. And what's feeling really present on my mind, Lizzie, is this is the conversation that marks the completion of our third year of this project.
Oh,
and it's really
goodness.
Something to be at this point, to feel we've been three times around the sun together doing this. It's a big deal. And I'm feeling very, very grateful that we're still here and still up to this as we launch into this week.
That's completely bonkers. I can't believe that. Have been doing this for 3 years, and it doesn't feel like that at all. So weird and so excellent. I feel really proud of us.
Right, me too.
To keep doing it and coming back each week is and not to not have missed one. And even if we missed one, we filled it in with a recording. We did that twice, didn't we?
Mm.
And it just feels wonderful that we've done this. My goodness. And funnily enough, the title of this poem today by the amazing William Martin, which is called Always Return. I just feel like that's what this is. This feels like a return all the time. And no matter how far we might get from ourselves, and no matter how busy things might become, or painful things might be, or distracted they might be, or whatever, this feels like a place of returning to me. Like a kind of, like a pillar that I can return to that's very solid. And that keeps being here. And I'm just feeling in this moment the kind of solidity that provides me with, and the kind of consistency and foundational somethingness that we can return to each time we sit here. It feels very meaningful to me. I'm very grateful.
Mm.
Oh, and also the word return for me is like, it's like it's okay to return whatever state you're in. It's not like you're returning to perfection or returning to something that's okay even. It's just returning. Like I can be bedraggled here. I could be ruined here. I could be celebrating here. Just the act of coming back to the same spot feels very healing and very humane to me, like for me. A very humane thing to do for myself. So it's also an act of self-care to be here and to keep doing this. And so William Martin is going to support us with his words through, sorry about this noise, everybody, but Vesper is here and she's struggling with the stairs at my mum's house. So the noise is going to have to be there. So I'm going to read with this lovely William Martin poem. So here we go. It is good to know your own strength, but always return to your flexibility. If you can cradle your beloved in your arms, in nurturing gentleness, love will flow through you. It is good to achieve things, but always return to anonymity. Your beloved does not need your achievements, but needs your uncomplicated soul. It's good to work for change, but always return to what is. If you accept all things, whether painful or joyful, you will always know that you belong to each other and to the Tao. Return today to that which brings you life, enfolding, caressing, soothing, nurturing, forgiving, and accepting.
Thank you, Lizzie. So I'm going to read it too. Always Return by William Martin. It is good to know your own strength, but always return to your flexibility. If you can cradle your beloved in your arms in nurturing gentleness, love will flow through you. It is good to achieve things, but always return to anonymity. Your beloved does not need your achievements, but needs your uncomplicated soul. It is good to work for change, but always return to what is. If you accept all things, whether painful or joyful, you will always know that you belong to each other and to the Tao. Return today to that which brings you life, enfolding, caressing, soothing, nurturing, forgiving, and accepting. Liz, you're muted, so you're very quiet.
So I was just cancelling Vesper shouting out for a bit. I love this feeling, Justin, of... So the image that's coming to me is one of those kind of stretch tents with pillars that hold up this beautiful roof. And that throughout this, I can just feel the grounded points in it, if you like. The grounded points that I can find myself coming back to. And it feels like an acceptance of all the ways that we get up to worldly things, but that we need to come home. And we need home to be this place of anonymity, flexibility, what is. Like that, it feels like these signposts for returning that we can find in our safe places, basically. So it feels like a permission to go into the world, to be worldly, and to keep coming back to this kind of safety, these pillars of safety that we can be for one another. And I feel so grateful that I can really say that there are people in my life that provide me with the pillars, and that of course I leave those pillars a lot, and in a way, because those things are there, I can leave the pillars of safety, because the safety is present. And to come back to that when I've been stretching myself, when I've been out in the world, it allows for things to go wrong. It allows for risks to be taken. It allows for failure to be okay. Because actually, I can be cradled. I can be anonymous. I can be uncomplicated. I can be ordinary when I'm returning to those places. And that's a huge thing. And a deep invitation to recognize the ways that I can be that for other people too, and what it means to them, knowing what it means to me, I can then feel what it means for me to be that safety for others.
Mm. So enjoying in listening to you, Lizzie, feeling the "and" that's in this poem. So it would be so easy to have, and I think many of us do, I know I do, often when I fall into sort of self-forgetfulness, imagine that there's only one way to be in the world, and that any other way then becomes a threat to the other way. So, oh, I'm meant to be the person, the one that's really got me in this poem today. I'm meant to be the person who achieves things in the world. And it's really easy from there to imagine that that is not only unarguably true, and then we sort of get triggered into it or defensive of it, but also that it must be true everywhere. So now I have to achieve things with you, my friend, Lizzie, and I have to achieve things with my family, and I have to, and it's not true. It's not true that setting that aside, so that we can be the way together that's called for in order to be in open, loving, receptive, nurturing relationship. it's not true that the achieving part has to be abandoned in order to be there. It's also not true that achieving has to colonize all of our relationships. Both are necessary. So there's a sort of softening into the, there's an and here, not an either or. And I'm very grateful for William Martin's language of return, because it helps to remember, and I think you expressed this really beautifully, this sense that we can step away, that there's real value in stepping in extending ourselves into, for example, extending ourselves into the world, into our own strength, into achieving, into bringing about change in the world. But that if we stay too long in that and we don't have ways of returning to something more central, more essential, we really easily lose both ourselves and our contactfulness with others. And actually, it strikes me in saying this that our capacity to be in the kinds of relationship with other human beings that really are mutually nourishing involve us returning to contact with ourselves. That's the, like, they're not separate to one another. So these virtues of flexibility, gentleness, anonymity, being with and turning towards all things, whether painful or joyful, finding that we can belong, are, I think, are disciplines that not only are they incredibly important, but they're not greatly valued in our wider culture. And so most of us come into contact again and again and again with only one side of this pole, and then we wonder, how is it that it's so hard for me to feel held? How is it that it's so hard for me to feel contactful with people? What William Martin is saying to us is because we forget to return to this other side of things.
I'm feeling really moved as well by this phrase, uncomplicated soul. When you're talking about the world and what it's like for each of us to be in that complexity, to be in that finding our way, and that there might be an uncomplicatedness to return to, like an ordinary making a cup of tea, watching telly, doing the hoovering kind of uncomplicatedness. And I just feel really held by that, like it's deeply important to cultivate our own uncomplicatedness. You know, there's a way that we can get so complex about being a person, you know, like everything feels like a big thing. And of course we are deeply complex, mysterious, deep, wide, unfathomable beings. But there's also something really uncomplicated about being a human being. And I know that there are certain people in my life that just don't know really what I'm talking about. And I love that. It's like, oh, thank goodness, I can just be like tea making with you. Like I don't have to talk at depth. We don't have to talk about anything special. It's just like saying hello and having a cup of tea and talking about the weather or something. And I feel really, in this moment, really acknowledging of those places in my life that feel like a breath of fresh air, really. I suppose given that I think my longing has led me very clearly into a lot of depth and a lot of inquiry and a lot of seeking in a way, which is wonderful, and I wouldn't change that for the world. But I think it's the nature of this poem that it's all necessary, the ordinariness and the wonder, as well as the depth and the mystery, feels like they each need one another in order for each one to be meaningful and fulfilling.
It's striking me from what you're saying that what we really need is both seeking and dwelling. You know, that seeking really is part of the nature of us as humans, is to be open to the possibilities of the world, and each of us takes that on in different ways. You know, you might be like you encountering the depth of things, or maybe someone else who's off to make big projects in the world, or someone who wants to make a name, or, you know, all of those kind of things. And then we really need to return to places where we can dwell.
Mm.
And I was thinking, as you were talking about it, Lizzie, I was feeling the this call to ordinariness. And what I could feel from this poem is that the one side of each of these pairs that William Martin says it's really good for that and also come back, is that the strength, achieving, working for change, that side of things, they don't really work out so well in relationships with other humans.
Mm.
Like the ordinariness of being able to be in this conversation with you and just see what comes, and to listen to one another without demanding that this go a particular way, or we make a particular point, or making a cup of tea with someone, or just sitting and looking outside together, or going for a walk, or, you know, whatever it might be. I think that very often our humanity and our depth and our aliveness gets really nourished by that simplicity. And the biggest part of it that was coming to me whilst you were speaking was what it's like to listen in an unhurried way to someone else. Like, let me not make you fit into my wish that this goes quickly, or my wish that you show me that I'm this kind of person, or just bringing our uncomplicated souls and returning to whatever is here, whatever that is. It might be a very deep feeling, or it might be making the tea or washing the dishes or going on an adventure or anything. But that's the place where we know that we belong, both to one another, other humans, other particular humans, and also, when he says to the Tao, of course, he's coming from... This is a book about the Tao of relationships, I think, as Jan would be telling me. But I think that the Tao here means, in the sense of the Taoist path, like knowing that we belong to life, knowing that we belong to the way of life. Our feeling that we might belong, I don't think usually comes from the being strong, getting things done, achieving things, which really has its place. But that's very often what takes us away from the very simple feeling of belonging, of I can be here, that which brings me life.
I really love this language of belonging. And I noticed when you were speaking that the thing that arose for me when I found myself reflecting what I'm normally like, what's normally happening on the inside of me when I'm doing ordinary things. And many times I think I get distracted because I want to connect with people. And so I'm thinking, well, what questions could I ask them? Or, you know, I wonder if there's something I haven't thought about in their life that I haven't asked about, or, you know, have I forgotten something? Or, you know, like, is there anything that I could connect over? And I realized that so much of the time, really, actually, what's needed is what you're saying, this kind of listening that's completely uncomplicated and just being there and letting that be enough, like not having a demand on either myself or the situation that it's filled with something particular, but just letting it, like you said, like letting life, I think this is what you were saying anyway, like letting life live us, rather than interfering with it too much, rather than trying to manipulate it or control it or steer it for all of the underlying reasons we might do. What if we can just stop and recognize that this is enough? Like you said, like just to listen to someone with a kind of awe of wondering who they are and where they might have been and who they're becoming. And just take all of the demand off of things to be this ordinary, listening, straightforward togetherness that's possible as human beings without saying anything even. Like, what does that mean?
I'm really thinking a lot about what happens when we have demands of one another, and how that so often gets in the way of our being contactful with one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I'm at home here with Davina and I have some unspoken demand that she is a particular way, oh, you're not being loving enough, you're not seeing me enough, you're not meeting my needs enough, why couldn't you be more this way or less that way or whatever, which is all of this sort of controlling the world way. At least my experience has been when I've been that way, and I'm feeling really glad to have managed to have shaken off really a lot of that. But boy, I can think of so many times when I would just want someone else or my children like to be a particular way, and I'm demanding it, either unspoken or spoken.
Yeah.
And each way what I'm saying is, you as you are not enough.
Yeah.
You don't meet me. And it's at that point that two things happen, neither of which are helpful for being in a relationship. One is, of course, for the other person, it's just endlessly irritating or painful. Like, it's so unseeing of another person to say, whatever way you are, don't be that way. You need to be this way for me. I mean, it's awful. But the second thing is that it also inevitably makes, for me, the other person into like a disappointment.
Yeah.
Instead of being this mystery, you know, even just the simple act of making a cup of tea for someone or being made a cup of tea, like what it takes to be able to do that, the skillfulness and the care and the practical know-how of living in the life and the ability to have tea around and knowing when it's called for. And, you know, it looks like, it could look like the most boring thing, but it's not. And that another human could move and see and act and care and do is miraculous. And all of those demands that I, you know, I just feel so ashamed saying, oh, God, all those times, my goodness, you know, what was I doing? Where there's whoever it is, there's a miracle here with us.
Mm-hmm.
And what the demands do, that also it just stops us from seeing that, its presence.
I love what you said, Justin, about they're a disappointment. So whatever they're not being is a disappointment. But then for the person who's disappointed, that's horrible experience to be disappointed in someone. But if I'm doing the demanding, I've done the disappointing. Like, that's what I'm sniggering at. It's like my own kind of, my God, I'm creating my own experience. So I'm complaining, but I'm then giving myself a reason to complain about my life by complaining. So it's like, whichever way I turn, it's me in that whole being a demand on something. And then when you talked about makeup of tea and like the miraculousness of it all and everything, you know, I can think of the times when I've said to people, I don't like that cup of tea. Or I haven't drunk it or something, because I think, oh. And I mean, it's fine not to drink a cup of tea, but like I know that I'm not seeing in the miraculousness so much of the time. You know, my sister said to me that my 9-year-old nephew's just started making her cups of tea in the morning. And in a way, what you said is just what's true right now, is that he's 9. He's figured out how to boil a kettle, how to put a tea bag in and put some milk in, take the tea bag out and take it upstairs without spilling it and or it being cold or poisonous or whatever. And that's incredible. And he's really proud of himself because he's doing something that we just think is making a cup of tea. But when someone does it for the first time and then kind of practices doing it, what you're saying becomes so visible, which is it's all extraordinary. All of it. And we're just asleep to all of that all the time.
So I think there really is, I'm actually drinking right now a pretty horrible cup of tea because I left it, it's cold and I'm not enjoying it very much. And I think that there's something to be said for, you know, like truthfulness on both sides, on all sides, like to say, for me to say, thank you for the tea and it's too cold for me to drink, or like all of that is fine. What the mistake is, as I've been looking at the words here, I've been caught, and you pointed to it earlier, Lizzie, about belonging. the moment I make you into something that I have to achieve, like you have to be a particular way for me in order to meet my very particular need, and you're not, so I will now treat you as a disappointment and that side of things. I've just lost my train of thought. It's the moment that I make you no longer belong and I make me no longer belong.
Yes.
Like, you can't be here the way you are, Lizzie. You're really sad and I'm feeling upbeat. And I don't want sad person around. Stop being sad. So essentially I'm saying you don't belong. And the moment I do that, I don't belong either. Because we only belong. Belonging is on the in-between. We only belong.
Yes.
When we're willing to be with what's here. So, you know, I could... Belonging involves being able to make really good requests. Like, belonging doesn't mean giving up on what's true. I think what belonging means is not mistaking our need to change everything around us that we get up to in the world so often, not mistaking that for the thing to do with the other people who are around us, who we're with, and instead attending to the practices of belonging together. Truthfully, openly, lovingly, belonging, which involves being real with one another, and not diminishing ourselves or the other person in this way that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's very beautiful, Justin. I feel very invited and held and captured by all of this. Thank you.
We must be at about the time that we should end. I think it's hard to keep track because we've started at such an unusual time and are finishing at such an unusual time, but I think it probably is. Thank you so much, Lizzie, for bringing this source. And I think the last thing for me to say is what a choice for the end of our third year, because really it seems to me that what this is it's a practice in returning. I know it is for us, and I know it is for many people who listen and join us. So you brought the perfect words for this great occasion. And I know that all being well, we'll be back together next week for the start of our fourth year. We'll embark on our fourth turn around the sun together.
I might go make myself a celebratory cup of tea. Congratulate us.
Congratulatory cup of tea.
Yes.
How beautiful.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, everybody, for being here with us.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.